Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I'm really delighted today to bring you what I think is a very special guest, Dr. Richard Presser. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
We're great. I just am delighted that you're here with us.
Thank you.
What I want to tell those who are listening is I have known Richard for a while, as he has been a regular on the conference calls with the spiritual hierarchy. And so you might say I have had a bird's eye view of watching Richard grow and expand, open up his heart center, and how shall I say, reaching for the guiding light. So, Richard, that has been a wonderful experience for me to see you develop along this path. Now, folks, the reason that we have Richard on the on the show today is not really to talk about the conference calls, but to talk about Richard's ebook. Richard, tell the listening audience the name of your ebook and the website that it can be found.
Sure, Carolyn. It's the ebook's called The Coming Golden Age and How to Prepare for It, and the website is www.thecominggoldenage.com.
Now, the reason that I was so fascinated about Richard's work is, if you know my work, you know I talk about the Golden Age and prepare for it. But Richard did something fascinating in his ebook. He sort of what I might say draws a path that one can follow, and to me it is done in a very logical manner so that those who perhaps have some doubts maybe as to whether all of this is real or not, he gives a myriad number of stops along the way that a person can do some research and sort of come to their own conclusion as to what is happening. Is that a fair way to put it, Richard?
It is, Carolyn. That's very much what I've tried to do. I guess I started the path in terms of the ebook in the ground that I grew up in, if you will, which was the scientific side of things, and looked at what science was telling us, and then drew a line into the spiritual side of things, which, in a sense, I started to look at maybe 15 years or so ago, although I didn't quite understand what I was doing back then, and then unfolded really into the work that Carolyn is bringing through, which I think is just truly extraordinary, and I feel very honored to be part of the work that she's doing. So what I've done is really built that path through so people can follow it. Hopefully it will help some people who are, as Carolyn said, are questioning what this is all about, really, to be able to follow it through and be able to follow the link through and have some comfort with what's unfolding and with what I'm saying about what's unfolding.
Well, one of the things that attracts me to what you have done, Richard, is the fact that you have come from the scientific side of the ledger, so to speak. I've tried to do that myself in the work that I've done because I think it's important. Tell me, how did you become so interested in the scientific side? Does it have to do with your doctorate?
It's not directly linked, interestingly. my PhD is in materials engineering, which has not got a lot of links to this. However, I remember back in my PhD days that I began to get interested in the scientific process, if you will, and had been brought up with the understanding, if you like, that the scientific process was a logical one, and I realized doing my PhD that in fact it was not a logical process at all. What it involved was moments of inspiration, if you will, where you took leaps forward and then tried to justify, try to rationalize, put the steps in place, if you will, that got you from, justified the leap that you'd taken. And I realized, as I say, during my PhD days that was an innate part of the scientific process. And of course, that's implicit in any scientific theory, because it is by definition a theory that then people try to either explain or to prove experimentally or whatever. So in a sense, I realize now that in a sense my searching really began back in those days. And I remember reading a book by Lyle Watson, I think it was, called Supernature, which was in those days looking at some of the unusual science that didn't fit inside the mold. And in many ways what I've done with what I've written in the ebook is a continuation of that kind of looking at some of the science that didn't really quite fit in the standard mold of what people think about science.
Well, you might say then, from the very beginning, you were laying a foundation, it sounds to me.
It really does look like that. I mean, it's so often we can only see some of these things when we look back. I still look forward to looking back and owning the foundations that I'm building today, because in many ways it's so clear, and yet other ways it's still so tenuous.
So if I recall, you really started out it from the business perspective. Is that accurate?
In terms of my working life?
Yes, years ago, before you came to the spiritual path, you were in business?
Very much so. Yes, I after doing my completing my PhD, I then worked for IBM for about 7 or so years in the IT space in sales and marketing, having decided that I really didn't want to pursue the academic path, and then got involved with some other guys in building a pretty successful IT business in Australia, which we finished up building up to about a $25 million business, which I finished up running and owning half of. And it was fairly late in that cycle, I suppose, in about 91, 92. I remember standing in front of the whiteboard in my office and I guess experienced what might be described as an epiphany, or I'm not sure what word you would use, but certainly I remember standing there quite vividly, suddenly realizing that all that I'd been looking to create in my life, which was financial success, and I was married to a pretty special lady, had 3 gorgeous kids, I was driving around in a Ferrari, had all the trappings of success, if you will, and I suddenly realized that all that I'd been creating was really papering over, if you will, trying to fill this void that I felt in the center of me. And it was only in realizing that I wasn't filling it that I actually acknowledged that it was there. So it was kind of like a double whammy. And it's really at that point that I guess the search started. And in hindsight, I realized I pretty much destroyed everything I created in my life as I began this search, if you will, to make sense of myself. So, yes, I started in the business world and then proceeded to, as I say, pretty much destroy all that I'd created. I managed to lose $1 million or so in a year and destroy my marriage and lots of other things in my life to try to figure out what on earth was going on for me.
Richard, thank you for sharing that with me and the audience. And it is exactly what I wanted you to bring out, because I think what is happening in the world today, you're a very good example of this, in the sense that we have been caught up in a, how shall we say, a money world of things, and success has been graded upon the amount of dollars that one has accumulated and the possessions that they have accumulated, and yet there is this quiet voice there that is urging and pulling at the heartstrings to say that there is something more. And this is what I really wanted to share with the audience. If you feel on some level that there might be something more than going to work every day and paying the bills, and whether you accumulate $1 million or not, that may not be. But the point is, if you feel, if your soul speaks to you of some quiet urging that there might be more to life, then I really suggest that you seek out Richard's website and consider his ebook, because this was the beginning of his journey. And I think you will find many answers there that will help fulfill what you are looking for. Now, Richard, when you finally got to the point where you started to look into the spiritual aspect of things, what was the first thing that attracted you? And I'm assuming that that perhaps is where you started in the ebook, or maybe not. Tell me, what was the first thing that pulled you in this direction?
In the direction of writing the ebook, you mean,
yes.
Carolyn? Or?
Yes. This concept of doing the research and coming up with the information that's in the ebook, or like you say, maybe there's something deeper in this that actually draws you towards writing the ebook. I'm looking for that moment in your life where you turn and then you actually start pulling together the information.
Okay. What's interesting is that I'd been, in a way, pulling the information together for years. I'd been, as I said, interested in the science for quite a long time. And as I'd worked with your conference calls, Carolyn, and so on, that side of me had always gone looking for the evidence, just as it had in you, because I know the work that you've done. You referred to it earlier, to look at the links, the evidence back in this domain of the things that you've been learning and understanding. And so that's been there throughout. And it was really, what unfolded was I was trying to figure out how to make money work in my life, because it hasn't really worked very well for quite a while. And one of the things I did was I studied a particular approach to trading in the markets, which was based on the work of W.D. Gann, which is he's a fascinating individual, and though he didn't make a lot of publicity of it, was a very spiritual man. I mean, he certainly spoke about the Bible and so on, but he also had deep connections to astrology and used it quite extensively in his trading. And so I'd been endeavoring to use Gann's trading models to make some money for myself in the markets, and I got to the point where I realized that this was not just not going to work for me. So I just opened myself up and said, well, this isn't working, so what's there for me to do? And almost in a heartbeat, the ebook was there. So I sat with it for a while and reflected on it and thought, okay. So at that point, I did do a little work to flesh out and confirm some of the details so I could accurately refer to some of the material. But I actually wrote most of that ebook in about 2 weeks.
I love it.
Because it just poured out of me, really.
Uh-huh.
And it was only after I'd pretty much completed it at the end of, as you probably recall, Carolyn, one of your conference calls, where the opportunity was provided by Yeshua and Mother Mary to ask about previous lives that we'd spent with them. And in asking Mother Mary about such a life, she didn't take us to another life. She took us to the ebook and let me know that she'd actually guided me in the writing of it. It just blew me away. In many ways, it was perhaps the first really, in a way, concrete piece of evidence that I had that what I was doing was on track, and it was so profound for me.
Richard, when I hear you tell that story, I am in awe, as I have been so many times when people have connected to the spiritual hierarchy and information is given to them that turns their life around. And it is such a beautiful thing. And, you know, I watched you go through this, and I have to say it was a great experience for me. Now, Richard, I must tell you that an hour slips by very quickly. We're 20 minutes into the show. And what I want you to do is I wanted to lay the groundwork so people could understand where you were coming from and how so much like them you are. you know, we are all sharing this searching, and when you find what you're searching for, it is a glorious thing. So keeping in mind that the time goes by very quickly, I would like to, for you to bring forth one section of the ebook that you think stands out in your mind that you would like to share with the people. I want to give them a feeling for, you know, the kind of topics that you are covering in your ebook.
Okay. Well, perhaps what might be useful initially would be a little path through it, if you will, because that might then prompt me as to which bit to talk about, because I'm not really clear. So the path I draw is I start off in what quantum physics is telling us, which I think is pretty well documented. It certainly seems to me it's pretty well documented now, though, of course, that doesn't mean that everybody is aware of it or necessarily agrees with it. But I think it is very well documented now, and perhaps one of the most readily absorbable versions of it that I have come across is the material that was gathered for What the Bleep. In particular, I would refer not to the original What the Bleep, but I provide a link to the more extended version. What the Bleep became down the rabbit hole, and from there became a collector's edition of that. And in that is a very, something like 5 hours of material interviewing some of the greatest minds, I think, primarily in the US, but quite a few elsewhere, that really map out what modern science is telling us about the nature of our reality. And perhaps the individual that I've most connected with in this space is Dr. Fred Alan Wolf, who has also walked the journey of marrying science and spirituality together in his own life. He's worked with shamans in South America and Australia and elsewhere, and has really sought to, if you will, blend the two together. And there are some fascinating conclusions that come out of the modern science that tell us that our reality is not quite like we think it is. That really we're living in a conscious three-dimensional space-time hologram that we take as being real, but we think we're doing things in, and we're really not. I still have trouble hanging on to this because, you know, we take all that we live inside of here as being so real. And it's just a piece of consciousness, a level of vibration of consciousness that looks solid, but it really isn't. So I talk about some of that science, and then I walk through into some of the less widely known science, I guess, some of which talks about the links that exist between our DNA, for example, and light and other forms of energy. The reality is that our DNA is able to actually influence the shaping of light. And also the evidence is that there is a connectedness in all things. Now some of that is well based in the science, but some of that connectedness is perhaps a little surprising. Some experiments that have been done, for example, which take samples of body tissue and then locate them initially next door to the donor, and then, you know, 50 or 100 kilometers away, and that DNA sitting in a petri dish is showing the same responses as the donor is experiencing in response to stimulation coming from various types of video material and so on and so forth. So there is a connectedness that we don't recognize as we go about our daily lives. So that then leads us to, I guess, recognizing that, or having to acknowledge, really, that on a level we are all one, and the science points this out very clearly. It's very, very powerful. science that provides that kind of link. So I then stepped from that into some of the spiritual understanding that I have gathered, and really the detail of this, a lot of it really comes from the work that you've done, Carolyn, the material that you've channeled, the evidence that then supports that. So I begin to talk about what's actually unfolding, the extraordinary time in history that we have chosen to be on this planet and be part of. And that, of course, is the ascension process, which is unfolding in our lifetimes, and we are all very much in the process of experiencing and in our own ways trying to make sense of. And so I build that path through and then look at providing quite a bit of evidence for what I have to say that's come from your work and other material, just what the evidence really is to in this domain that actually supports what's been channeled, what's been said. There's some pretty substantial evidence that's there, as you well know. So from there, I then step forward into really what some of the more, recent understandings are, what some of the recent knowledge is, some of the things that are unfolding at this point in time, and then some advice on where people should focus, I guess, on a fundamental level in terms of wanting to move forward with this. And really the unfolding is a very personal thing. It's not for me to say anybody should take a particular path or a particular approach, because it is a very personal journey. However, there are some fundamental things that we can do if the understanding that I've sought to bring people to actually makes sense for them. And I talk about those as well.
Well, one of the things that I really like about your ebook, Richard, is that you have so many links in there where people can go to these different links and follow through on the research as if they are walking in your shoes, so to speak. So in other words, you make a statement, you discuss something, but then you provide the link in the ebook that people can go to and read and study as you have. And I think that is a really great service. And in actuality, one couldn't do this if they had a hardcover book in their hand. The only way that you can really do this is by following through on the ebook. And it's one of the things that I like, because your book to me is like a template of information, and then people can follow the links that are in your ebook and you might say, go and substantiate the words that you have said and come to their own conclusions. So I really like that. And I want to mention that for people who perhaps have some hesitancy about using an ebook in such a manner, because there are some people that like to work with the hard cover that they can hold in their hand. But this experience is different in the sense that the ebook acts almost like an instructor, so to speak, bringing forth the information of different hypotheses so that in the end the person can come to their own conclusion. So I think that blends itself so very well to an ebook.
Thank you, Carolyn. It is exactly what I have set out to do. A template is a very good word, or a map, because I'm not claiming anything that's in my ebook as mine. It's come to me from various sources. All I have provided really is the map or the template. So the ebook itself is not that long. Really what I have done is, as you say, used the ability to access the internet from the ebook as a powerful way to allow people, as you say, to walk in my shoes, to really understand the science behind it. And one of the risks with doing something like that is that the internet is not a static thing; it can move. And I have worked quite hard to make sure that the things that I've chosen in terms of references are things that are going to stay there, that have been there for a while, if you will, and so it's not something that's going to become out of date quickly. So, I have focused very much on taking advantage of that ebook format. As you say, it's not something that you could do in a physical book. And I also recognise that there are a lot of people, and I'm one of them at times, who are much more comfortable actually, sitting down and reading a book itself. So I have enabled it such that someone can choose to print it out if they want and read. As I say, it's not that long. It's it's only about 35 odd pages. Because I haven't tried to spell out all of the detail behind all of the things that I'm saying, because the links are there and people can go and read them in detail for themselves. So if somebody wants to print it out and read it, it's not a, you're not going to chew up half a tree to print it out and, you can sit down and read it and then go back to the ebook form if you want to do that and check out some of the links. So I have set it up in that way.
Richard, we're halfway through the show, and I'd like to open up the lines to those who are listening and may wish to call in and either question you about this or have a comment. And folks, this is not the way I usually do a Sunday show, in the sense that I usually work with the cherubim and bring in information from them. And so if you have questions of the cherubim, or you want to use some of the resources that I usually bring online, I'd like for you, if you would be kind enough, to hold that to next week and let us focus strictly on Richard's work. So our line here is 877-876-5227. That's our U.S. toll-free number. And if you're in Canada, the toll-free number there is 888-815-9750. And this is a beautiful time to call about some of these esoteric questions that you might have, and perhaps even something about the journey itself. Now, Richard, one of the things that I'm aware of is that people who purchase your ebook, you have a bonus for them. How about talking a little bit about that?
I've actually provided a number of bonuses with my ebook. What I've endeavored to do is gather some material that people may not readily have access to, and which complements my ebook and has value to people. Some of it I've gone out and sought, and some of it has just come to me, as is the nature of this journey. So one of the, let me just quickly run through some of the bonuses which are there. One of them is an ebook which is a compilation of material from a lady who writes under the name of Mary Majot. Mary actually lives in Australia. She's Canadian born. She's been walking the spiritual path for many, many, many years. And,
Richard, if I might interrupt you for a second, dear, we have a caller who has a question, and then we'll take up on Mary's ebook if you don't mind.
That's
caller,
exactly.
Your name, please.
This is Lila.
Hi, Lila.
I tuned in a little late, and I haven't been able to figure out what Richard's book is about. Could you give a little summary on that?
Well, it's hard to give a summary in the sense that we've been a half an hour on this, but let me say this in a couple sentences. It is, I would recommend that you go to his website. Richard, give your website again, please.
www.thecominggoldenage.com. Thecominggoldenage.com.
Well, Lila, the reason I wanted him to give the website is because it is a very good explanation of what the material is. So it is about the coming golden age, and Richard has a very scientific mind, and he gathered all of the spiritual information in the beginning from the point of sciences. And so he discusses quantum physics. He discusses other scientific theorems and work that is being validated presently, and he applies this to the spiritual aspect. And this is Richard's journey, and it probably is yours also, in the sense that we all have this yearning to understand better where we are in this universe. And I think this is a marvelous place to start, because Lila, in the ebook, he references a lot of different places where you can go and confirm what he has said, or if he has made a statement, you can go and learn more about the information. That's why this ebook is so marvelous, because it is like a tool. As I said earlier, it is like Richard has set up this template of what his journey is, and since he has thoughts and processes and desires very similar to the rest of us, it's a wonderful way to follow that journey. So is that helpful, Lila?
Huh?
I said, is that helpful to you?
Yes, I was wondering also, how does that line up with the Bible? Is there any coincidences between the two?
Richard, I'm going to let you answer that. I have my own thoughts about that, but how about you answering that one?
Yes, look, I haven't specifically focused on the Bible as a source of material for this. There is no doubt that the time we are going through here, which is preparing for the ascension process, is certainly spoken about in the Bible. However, I've not in any way sought to correlate this with the Bible.
Right. Lyle, let me say this. Truth is truth, no matter what name you put on it.
Exactly.
And yes, and so if we're going to look at the Bible as the ultimate truth, that certainly is a place to go and find comfort and find a lot of answers. But there was a lot of information that couldn't be put into the Bible because people didn't have the mental capacity to understand it. For instance, quantum physics. You know, Richard's working with quantum physics and consciousness, and you wouldn't have found that in the Bible. But
right.
I think what Richard has come to is not in conflict with the Bible, though he doesn't, as he is saying, quoting, verse and stanzas and
mm-hmm.
so forth.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Yes, it is, Lila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as Jesus did say, the people then really could not understand the higher technologies of today.
You know, there's another aspect of that, Lila, also, it has come to us, again, both scientifically, that the brain has developed over a period of time, and from that period of time, 2,000 years ago until today, a lot of growth and development has gone on. So part of it is the fact that science had not uncovered some of the things that science has uncovered today. And secondly, the brain has evolved more in 2,000 years also. And actually,
I thought from Atlantis we had people who were well in advance of the people even of today.
Well, that probably is true, but you have to take into consideration, Lila, that there was a fall in understanding
from
Atlantis.
And we're regaining that, yeah.
Yes. The human race had fallen a long way in understanding, and much had happened to the brain. Actually, the brain was divided at that point in time. That's not something that science has told us, but it is something that the masters have told us. So what was in the very early time of Atlantis and before that Lemuria those understandings went through, you might say, a downgrade. People had forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Lila, it was a delight chatting with you, and I hope you look into that. I think you would be very pleased with it, because I know you too are also one who is searching and who works very diligently with that.
Yes. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome,
you,
Lila.
Right. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Lila.
Well, folks, don't sit and listen and wait till the very last minute before you decide to pick up the phone, because it's like 15 or 20 minutes that you have. Our number here is 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. And if you're in Canada, the number toll-free from there is 888-815-9756. So, Richard, tell me, now, I sort of think this is not Lila's comments brought up a thought, and that thought was, well, did you go to the Bible and look at these sources? And I think I understand, knowing you, why you didn't go in that direction, but tell us, if you might, why you chose to stay more on the scientific, the now, so to speak, in your work with the e-book, or do you have an answer for that?
The simple answer was that I was not drawn to, you know, I think one of the things that I have acknowledged as I've sat back and looked at it is that I was guided in where I focused with this, and there was no pull at all to really look at historical material in putting this together. This is very much focused in the now, you know, I think there are a lot of people out there who are looking to understand what's going on who don't have a connection with the Bible, or, you know, have a connection with another spiritual text. And for me, they all have a contribution to make. I mean, from a Western perspective, the Bible tends to be the strongest of those. I think it's pretty well recognized that as a document has been fairly distorted over time. That's not to say it no longer has value, because it certainly does. A lot of the material has come through in pretty clear form. However, I simply wasn't drawn to look at those historical documents. And what's interesting is that really throughout my life, even though I was brought up with a Christian training, a Protestant experience and so on, and sort of investigated at a young age connection with the church and so on, it really has never been strong for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have been over time taught quite a bit about the Bible, and I've read it and so on. I haven't read it cover to cover, but I've read quite a lot of the Bible over time. The motivation just wasn't there to do it. This is a document which is built in current knowledge, current information, current unfolding, if you will.
Well, before we take on the next caller, Richard, I would just like to add, I think perhaps you were not drawn towards dogma. And as you said, in the now. Caller, your name, please. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, your name, dear.
Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
You have a question for Richard.
Yes. I've been trying to find a remedy to a stop that I've been having a problem with ever since I was 16.
I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying, Tiffany. Can you repeat that?
Well, okay, I have a problem since I was 16 that I could not resolve. And every time I
you have a problem with your 16 what?
No, I had a problem ever since I was 16.
Oh, okay.
I just turned 26. Well, I've been having spiritual attacks, and I just want to know how to get rid of it.
Now, wait a minute. You have a spiritual text? Is that what you said?
I'm under a spiritual attack all the time.
Oh, spiritual attack.
Yeah.
Tiffany, the kinds of situations that you're talking about, we work with on the shows that I do. However, today we're working with Dr. Presser. If you'd be kind enough to call us back on Wednesday when we are working with Charlene, we would be glad to assist you in that. And that particular show is called Cosmic Connections. And
okay.
Yes, we are on board at 6 o'clock Pacific time. Do call in then, and we would be most happy to assist you with that. Also, I hope you have been listening to Dr. Presser, and you know, give some thought to looking into his ebook.
Okay.
I think it would assist you on other levels, not the level that you're talking about, but in other levels. Call back then, Tiffany.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Bye.
Bye. So we were talking about my observation was that the concept of dogma, there are many out there who have felt that there has been some issues of control and in a sense have rebelled against that. Then there are others who are very dedicated. So there are individuals from both perspectives. And like you said, Richard, you're working in the now. It's one of the things that I like about your ebook because some of the topics in there are exceedingly relevant to the scientific information that is coming out right now. And while some of it has become mainstream, like information that is in What the Bleep, there is other information that is not so mainline that I think is very important. I don't recall this, Richard. Did you touch on the scientific information that was coming out of Russia?
I did touch on some of it. And one of the things I have come to see, and part of it was through this process, is that the scientific establishment in Russia is investigating some areas that the West simply hasn't begun to look at. And there are some quite fascinating work going on over there. The work that I do refer most strongly to, and it's actually some work that that you pointed me towards, Carolyn, indirectly, was the work on global warming and what's happening right across the solar system. We do have a focus on in looking at global warming at what mankind is doing, and I certainly am not suggesting we should continue to be irresponsible. However, there are things happening on a solar system level which would strongly indicate that we would be having global warming occurring on this planet regardless of what mankind was doing. For example, there have been a range of significant changes in the solar system on a range of planets, significant changes in magnetic field strength. We've seen changes in magnetic pole shifts, a whole range of things. I actually don't have the data sitting on top of mine, but it's quite extraordinary the changes which are occurring right across the solar system. So that if we want to understand what's going on this planet, I think we do need to look a little broader and understand it in a broader context. And for me, the current reaction that's occurring with global warming, I think, is a very valuable one in the sense that it's having us focus a little more on the finiteness, if you will, of the planet on which we live and the abuse that mankind has been dishing out, we have been dishing out to this planet. You know, it in a sense, having us look a little more broadly than just our soporific view of our own personal success in a financial sense, if you will. So in that, it's acting as a wonderful wake-up call. The downside of it is that we, you know, some people will miss the bigger picture by focusing on what they see as being the cause, and there's a lot more going on than just what man is doing. So that's an example where Russian science has made a significant contribution.
Yes, I've been very fascinated by that.
Also, it's the Russian science which has looked at the influence of DNA, for example, on polarized light. Some experiments were done to shine polarized light through a vacuum-filled space, and when there was DNA present, the light structure of the light actually began to map the DNA. Not only that, but when the DNA was removed, the mapping in the light remained. So there is a level at which our fundamental chemistry, if you will, connects with energy, connects with consciousness, and it's things that we're only just now beginning to understand, this true dynamic interconnection of all things. Russian science is shedding light on some of this.
Yes, and one of the you were talking about global warming, and one of the things that we fail to recognize is that so much of the energy that is, I believe, affecting the other planets and affecting Earth is coming through the sun. And we have, statistically, the sunspot activity is not following the pattern that was made earlier. It seems to be a different pattern. It seems to be more intense. And for those who have not read your ebook yet, what we are being told from spirit is that this is actually energy that is coming from the center of the cosmos and hitting our sun and causing these changes. And like you said, Richard, you and I would both agree that we need to do all the things that we need to do here on Earth to conserve and to leave to the rest of the generations a planet that is as much pristine as possible. We have not been very good stewards on this Earth. Well, folks, we're getting up to the end, and we probably have time for one more question if there is somebody out there wanting more information about what Richard has been discussing. Our number here in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. So, Richard, I asked this earlier, and maybe there is not a special piece of information that kind of rings true on your journey. Not maybe ringing true is not the correct word. There probably is not one piece of information that gave you that aha sensation. Or is there? Is there one thing that you, when you studied and looked into, gave you the feeling like, oh, I'm really on the right path now?
Well, it really wasn't so much the study. You know, in many ways, it's been, particularly this year, feeling like all these, I talk about it in my ebook, it's like all these cogs inside me that have been not engaging for years, just trying to make sense of everything. It's like they've started to line up, and I still don't feel like they've lined up yet. I mean, I'm still very much trying to figure out what I'm about, who I am, and clear my history, if you will, which is not an insignificant task for me and for many, many others, including you, Carolyn. I mean, I know a little more about what you've been through than most, I suspect. And you keep that very much to yourself. Just for listeners, Carolyn is walking an extraordinary path. She has lived many lifetimes and is making a very special contribution to the rest of us on this planet. So, Carolyn, thank you for what you do.
Thank you for saying that, Richard.
So in many ways, it's like the cogs are lining up. And as I mentioned before, I've known on some level for a long time that we lived in a special time. And I did a lot of Reiki work over the last few years. And in many ways, coming to trust my intuition began to emerge during some of those sessions. And I would say to my then Reiki healer and subsequently my Reiki teacher, she would talk about clearing, and I said, well, we're not just clearing this last time, we're clearing everything. Everything needs to be cleared. And I had no idea where that was coming from or why I was saying it.
Or what that would mean when you say you're clearing all these lifetimes.
Yes. I didn't know what it meant, and I'm still understanding the totality of what that means. But so really, as I walk forward, understanding what's unfolding, beginning to understand the cycles that are coming together. I mentioned earlier studying GAN, and as I realized it wasn't to trade it. As I began to put the ebook together, I realized it was to understand the power of cycles and the power of cycles coming together in particular. And that is, I think, one of the great things that GAN understood was that when multiple cycles come together, when they end together, then powerful change follows. And we live in a time when there, and I talk about this in my ebook, we live in a time when there are huge cycles coming together. There are some short-term ones, but the particularly long-term one, I guess, the two significant ones that I see that are having the most influence on what we're speaking about here, which is the ascension that's unfolding, is the 200,000-year cycle of mankind living in this form of consciousness. It's been an experiment for a number of reasons that's been conducted, and we've all chosen to come and participate in this. However, the end of the cycle was planned at its beginning, and that ending is being driven by the energy coming from the supernova 1987A, which, as its name suggests, the energy started to turn up in 1987, but really they've become much, much stronger in recent years and continued to build up. So there's that cycle where this whole ending was planned. I mean, there's been some attempts to move it forward along the way, but it's taken really to the end of this cycle for mankind to understand what we're about and to embrace ascension.
Richard, I must interrupt you, darling. We are at the end of the hour. We have to close out, and I haven't asked you everything I wanted to ask. Come back again, would you, in the new year?
I'd be happy to do that, Carolyn.
And as we leave, give your website one more time.
www.thecominggoldenage.com.
Good. Thank you, Richard, for being here, and listeners, thank you for being there, and we will see you next week. Goodbye.